There's sorrows, there's troubles, there's sadness, there's great needs. Sometimes the fact of the matter is there's guilt, there's shame, there's things that sometimes you've even brought on yourself. Sometimes you're the victim of others. Sometimes you've brought something on yourself because you were prior the victim of others and not dealing with it the right way. It drove you into the wrong direction or even sometimes into a path of self-destruction to where you would be destroyed if you didn't find help. You see, what Jesus is doing is he's offering to give us rest. He said, you shall find rest for your souls. But here's something that I want you to understand about rest. And I've talked to my wife about this a good bit, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this. I believe in this context, this rest means peace. You know, what difference does it make if you have everything in the world that the world has to offer, but there is not peace in your soul? If you've got everything that you could possibly want, all the material things, if you've got all the position, all the prestige, but you look at the world today and you look at the people who are in places of high authority or high position, that when people look at them, how many times do you see their lives are in turmoil? How many times do you see them get involved in things that are just almost like it's self-destruction? It is because there is no peace. Now, as we begin to think this morning about bringing things to the table, all of us have things. All of us have baggage. All of us have things in our lives that we're dealing with. You know, a lot of times what we do, and we could look at it a number of different ways, but, you know, do we really bring the things in our life to the Lord that we need to bring to Him? You know, what the Lord is saying, He said, come unto me all. All. He said, if you labor, if you're heavy laden, whatever your burden is, Jesus is pleading for you to bring it to Him. And He says, I'm going to give you peace. Now, Jesus is telling us to take His yoke upon us. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit more, but I believe that's part of the reason people not understanding that, they don't come to God. They don't bring the things that they have to the Lord, and they're not really fully willing to commit to God because they are afraid of completely being yoked up with God. And then as He begins to go on further in this scripture, He says to learn from Him. You know, I've been around some good people in my life, and sometimes my wife and I, you know, we've been serving the Lord our whole lives. We met in church. And I'm just going to be honest with you, young people. When I met my wife in church, I was looking for a woman. But I'll tell you, a good place to find a wife or a girlfriend is in church. Amen. I didn't go to the bars looking for one, amen? Amen? I didn't go to the ball game. Nothing wrong with the ball game, but I tell you what I went to church. Because I wanted to be able to have someone in my life that was going to serve God with me. And I said that to go back to what I was saying. Folks, I've had good people in my life. I've had Sunday school teachers. I've had preachers. I've had deacons. I've had people that I can remember, that I can remember lessons from Sunday school when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I was a little bit rambunctious. I remember one time being in Sunday school down at Welcome Hill Baptist Church, and a lady named Glenda Donahue was my Sunday school teacher. She was a very patient lady, and she had to be to teach me. I remember one time in church, we were putting up the Christmas tree, and I was jumping around, and I grabbed a hold of it, and I turned the whole top of the Christmas tree over, and she was bent over, and it hit her right across her back. Her husband was a real tall guy, and he just looked at me, and he sounded like Lurch. He went, ooh. I could remember that. I was a kid, but I knew what it meant. But I could remember being in Glenda Donahue's Sunday school class one day, and we were painting with those little bottles of model car paint. And as we were painting, I was in a hurry, and I just knocked it over, and it spilt all over the table, and as thick as it was, it made a little puddle. And I grabbed a napkin, and I went to wipe it up, and she stopped me. She said, no, we don't have to wipe it up yet. You see how it made a puddle? We're going to use that. And then we'll clean up the mess after. Now, I want to tell you something. I was a kid. And I remember that today. You don't ever doubt one bit that when you're serving God and doing things for God, I don't remember not one Sunday school lesson that Glenda Gut Donahue ever taught. Brother Ray, her husband, was a preacher. I don't remember the messages that he preached, but I remember the way that those people lived as an example in my life. I could tell you more stories like that. I can tell you stories about a great man that I know named Jimmy Dunn that's been in the hospital with pneumonia. I can tell you about him and his wife and how they've been examples in our lives. I can tell you about Myra and Tommy Coster. I can tell you about the greatest man that I've ever known that's my dad. But I said all that to say this. The greatest teacher, the greatest one you'll ever learn from, his name is Jesus Christ. And he's calling you to come to him, and he can teach you and he can help you. If you'll come. You know, the thing about all those people, they were not great because they were great of their own selves. They were great because they walked with God. If you come to him and you learn of him, then you can be great, not because you're great, but because he's great. And if you walk with him, you will learn of him, and he will guide your life. You see, as he speaks to them, he says in the 30th verse, he says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Sometimes we think about being yoked up with God and it scares us. But what the Lord's trying to do here is he's trying to tell us of his character and how much that he loves us. I want to flip over and read just a couple of places in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 42. In Isaiah chapter number 61, we're going to read in Isaiah 61 first, verse 1 to 3. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and he hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn." Now, I want to tell you something as a Bible believer. The Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, this scripture is prophetic, speaking about Jesus Christ. The Bible is not circular reasoning. It was written over a period of 2,000 years, three different languages, multiple authors, as holy men of God were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. Now, if we go over to Isaiah chapter number 42 in the first verse, it says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. And he shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Now that verse right there, the third verse, is also found in the Gospels. And what it's talking about is our Lord is not going to beat down or crush the weak or the wounded. Now I got a message to preach, or I could park right there for a while, but that's exactly what that means. I heard a preacher one time preaching that's talking about cigarette smoking. Folks, it ain't in the Bible. That's not what that's talking about. It's talking about a person that's crushed, a person that's weak, that God, when he comes, he didn't come to crush. He came to heal that which was broken. He came to reach out to that which was sick and to heal them. He came to bind up the brokenhearted. It says, "He shall not fail nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. He said, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thy hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people for a light to the Gentiles." And the seventh verse is the key verse. "To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Now I want to flip over to one more place. This is Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 36. My life verses are Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. But if I were to add a verse to it, it would be this verse right here. It is Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36. And this is speaking of Jesus Christ. He was teaching, he was working, he was doing so many things. He was so busy in ministry. But the scripture said, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what our Lord is. That's what character that our God has. And when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, he is trying to tell us this. Not that I want to put a yoke upon you, but that I want to help you. Now, why do people not come to the table? Understanding the offer and being told how much Jesus cares for you, why would people not come to the table? Is it because maybe we don't believe that God really cares that much? You know, sometimes what we have to realize when we're trying to talk to people about the love of God, you know, there are people who come in this church and they come in and they're hurting and they're wounded and they've got things going on in their life that you do not want to experience in yours. They got pains that sometimes it takes such a long time for them to even be able to talk about them. And I want to tell you something, folks, you better be prayerful, just seeking God. We can't do it ourselves. We can't minister ourselves. We can't testify ourselves. But what we can do is listen close to the Holy Spirit and let God guide us, because people come in here that have needs, that need to bring things to the table of God, but the past experiences they've had have taught them this: I cannot trust anybody. Every person, I've had people tell me this, every person that I've ever been close to in my life has hurt me. My daddy hurt me. My mama hurt me. My uncle hurt me. I had a spouse and they hurt me. How can I believe that there is a God in heaven that's going to accept me just like I am and love me just like I am? And you tell them of John 3:16, where it said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I tell you what it takes. It takes time of the Spirit of God speaking to them, you obeying the Spirit of God and loving them, for them to build up enough trust to believe that I really can bring what I have to the table. You know, this bag is kind of heavy. I have to take stuff out of it sometimes because of what it weighs. People are carrying stuff that they shouldn't have to carry. It's too much. Why don't we bring it? Do we not believe that God cares that much? Well, he does. Do you not believe that God is big enough to actually handle the problems that you have? The song that Brother Ty sings, and I like this line in the song, said, there ain't nothing he ain't seen before. You know, sometimes in our lives, the fact of the matter is we walk through things that are heavy, that hurt us. It could be betrayal. You know, folks, betrayal is serious. It hurts. It hurts real bad. And you know, sometimes I, as adults, we see it. I've seen betrayal in people that have been married for years. But I'll tell you something, young people, I've seen betrayal in young people, and it hurts. And I've seen it. And you know, I heard somebody say something one time that, oh, it's, you know, it's just puppy love. It's just puppy love. Y'all ever considered that puppy love is real to a puppy? You know, sometimes as I watch my children, I care about my children. I care about your children. Y'all have heard me say this before. Number one goal in this church is that every young person that walks out those doors, they walk out into the world saved. Saved. Nobody goes to college, it's not saved. Nobody goes to their first job, it's not saved. Nobody gets married, that's not saved. That's our goal. We want everybody to know Jesus. But sometimes when I look at them and I see what they're going through, I can remember in my life, I can remember when I was hurt. I can remember when I was hurt. You ever heard anybody say something like this? And this lets you know that their heart and the compassion is not in the right place. They say, oh, they'll get over it. They might get over it, but what are they going to do in the meantime? You know that sometimes, and here's where we need as Christians, and this is what God's trying to give us to understand, is there is hope, there is a future, that God has a plan for your life. It doesn't matter how difficult it is. It doesn't matter what you've experienced in the past. It doesn't matter who's hurt you, who's betrayed you. There's a God in heaven that's willing to yoke up with you and walk with you and help you get to the next place. You see, there ain't nothing he ain't seen before. You know, sometimes when I think of this and God's ministering to me, what about when you get that call? You get that call and one of your loved ones is really hurt. You ever been told over the phone, well, they're hurt, we don't know how bad it is? Have you ever been told they're gone and you wasn't there to be with them? There ain't nothing he ain't seen before. You know, sometimes I've had people tell me, you know, I can't bring what I have to the Lord because it's just too dirty. It's just too dirty. And, you know, I just don't think God will forgive me of it because, you know, if people just known what I've done. I had a young man sit with me one time. He said, you know, I'm trying to serve God. And I had tears running down his face. He said, but I've done things that are so bad that if people just knew what I did, if they knew how I treated people. And, you know, the reality of it is God's calling him and he cannot forgive himself because he cannot accept how great that God's grace is. You know, perhaps we don't believe that God actually will forgive us. People say, well, you know, it works for others, but I just don't think God would love me that way. Folks, y'all know what I believe. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, come unto me all. Last time I looked, that word all means all. He said, if you'll come, you'll find rest, peace. Psalms 23 and verse 4, David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. John 14, 27, John wrote, peace, Jesus speaking, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let me tell you some good news. Good news. This is good news. I'm not God. Let me tell you some good news. You're not God. Because you ever heard people say this, and I've said it, if I was God, I'd... Whoa. Where are you at when you need God's mercy? Where are you at when you need God's grace? I tell you where I want to be. I want to be forgiven. I want God to look at me and not see me as I am, but I want him to see me through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, there are a lot of reasons that people don't come to God. Maybe it's because they really don't want to wear God's yoke. So what is a yoke? You know what a yoke is? A yoke is that harness that you put around an ox's neck. Or you put it around a mule's neck. And then you hook that ox to a wagon and you use that ox or that mule to pull that wagon. Sometimes they do it when they're pulling sleds in Alaska. They'll take a team of dogs and they'll hook them up and they'll have a lead dog that's strong and they'll have a dog that can listen to instruction and they might put one of those on the right or one of those on the left up front so that they know how to turn. But every one of them has to be yoked up together. You know, what people sometimes, the reason they don't come to the Lord is they don't want to bow to the Lord. Like that scripture over there in one place where they said, we will not have this man to rule and reign over us. But you know, as I begin to study, and I've thought about this, and this is, I'm just going to be honest with you, I've never preached on this before. I've never seen this like this before, but I was studying about a yoke this week, and I began to read a little further, and I found out what a yoke actually does. What a yoke does is it binds together. Because you can be in part of that sled, or you can be part of what's pulling that wagon. But when you get bound together with somebody that's strong, it makes it so much easier. You know, we had some stuff come into work this week, and it weighed a little over 400 pounds, and I'm worried about safety because, you know, everything's about safety. Y'all, you know, that's why I'm the way I am around here. There's a pencil. Ooh, pick it up. But it weighed 400 and something pounds, and I'm out here and I'm watching them. And I said, all right, we're not going to pick up 200 pounds apiece. I want 8 people. Everybody's going to put on their safety equipment. Everybody's going to get in the right place. We're going to think about it before we do it. And we're going to lay this thing down right here without incident. You know, sometimes people think that all God wants to do is get in my life and control my life and put a yoke upon me and I can't do this and I can't do that. You're missing the whole point. Come here, Luke. I want you to see what a yoke is. Put your arm around my neck. A yoke, when you get yoked up with God, it's when He comes on the scene and He helps you carry something that you cannot carry by yourself. He gets involved in your life. That's why Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. Have you ever heard the poem about the footprints in the sand? You know, in the footprints in the sand in the poem, the person's life flashes before their eyes and they say, you know, I saw that, you know, there were 2 sets of footprints and God, you were walking with me. But it come the time in my life that I was at my worst place and I was hurting the most. And God, I was in the most need. And it seemed like it was during those times of my life that you abandoned me, God. Isn't that sometimes how we feel? But what did God return and say? He said, no, it was not that I abandoned you, but it was during those most difficult and those hardest times of your life that I actually carried you. You know, when you get yoked up with God, what happens is you're hooked up with one. The reason you can have peace, the reason that you can have rest is because He gives you what He has. And all God really wants to do is love you and help you be the best you that you can be. In a book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, it says, 2 are better than 1 because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him. Then in the 12th verse, it says, but if one prevail against him, 2 shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I want God on my team. I saw a bumper sticker this week, and I understand what they were saying, but it said, my dog is my co-pilot. I know people love their animals, their dogs, their cats, and I get that. But folks, a dog can't drive. Have you ever heard people say, God is my co-pilot? Yeah. Well, God is my pilot. You know, God is my co-pilot. Here's why God is my co-pilot. God doesn't want to force you to do anything. What does it say over there? Choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What God wants you to do is go and be what He'll have you to be, but He wants you to walk with Him. And the reason we need to come to Him and bring everything that you have to the table is no matter what you've got, no matter what you've been, no matter what you've been involved in, I want to tell you something. The only thing that the blood won't cover is what you don't bring to God. Amen. He can handle every bit of it. Folks, I've seen God move in mighty, mighty ways in my life. Mighty ways. My life verse is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Says, lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know, why is it, but I've seen this before, people won't bring what they have to the table? Because it's almost like they say, I'd rather keep my trouble than give it to God and walk with Him. How many times have we tried to help people and it's like they go right back to the same place? They, you know, it's like bringing something down and laying it on the altar, but when you get up, you just carry it right back with you rather than give it to God. You know, it's like asking for God's peace. The verse in Philippians chapter 4 where it tells us that we ought to be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then it said, the peace of God. I heard a man give his testimony one time that was so profound it stuck in my heart and mind many, many years ago as he stood in our church and told us how God had worked in his life. We rolled up in the churchyard that morning, and we were ready for church, and there was an 18-wheeler, a rig, sitting over on the side of the church parking lot. Now, you know what me and my wife said? There's somebody over there sleeping, tearing up our parking lot. We've said it. Y'all have said it. Y'all have thought it. None of us are perfect. And we got ready for church, and we noticed that truck started moving. As a man and woman were in the sleeper on that truck, and they got out, and they walked up, and they come into church. They were actually from Texas. And the man came in, and I guess he felt at home. He certainly knew the Lord. And he asked, he said, can I lead a song? And he got up before the church, and he led that song, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. And he said, can I share just a little bit about my testimony? He said, my wife and I, we owned a farm in Texas. He said it was really a ranch. He said that's how we made our living. He said we were blessed. He said I was working every day. He said one day I had a pecan tree that I needed to cut down. He said, I don't know how it happened, but somehow during the midst of cutting down that pecan tree, it landed right across the small of my back. He said, every bone across the lower part of my back and my pelvic bone and what's called my sacroiliac was completely crushed. He said, the doctors looked at me and they told me that I would never walk again. He said, now here I stand before you today, and yes, I'm in pain. And no, we don't have the ranch anymore. We lost the ranch. He said, but I want to tell you that God is faithful. He said, one thing about it, he said, one thing that I've learned, he said, it's brought me and my wife even closer together because now everywhere we go, we've learned to do it together. We drive the truck together, and that's how we make a living. He said, and what we do is we go the places that God allows us to, and we explain to them what the peace of God that passeth all understanding means. He said, and here's what it means. He said, when I was laying in a hospital bed and I couldn't move and they told me that I would never move and tears were running down my face and I was worried that we were going to lose everything we had. I was worried of what was going to happen with our life. He said, all I knew to do was cry out to the Lord. He said, "All it's like this. All I know to do is bring it all to the table. Amen. And he said, God's peace came over me. He said, now when people look at me and they say, how can you make it? How can you keep going? How can you walk? How can you live knowing what's happened in your life? He said, I don't do it because I'm strong. He said, it's not my peace, but it's his peace, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And he surrendered it to God. So what happens to us when we don't come to the table? I'll tell you what happens. You get to keep your trouble. You get to keep your heartaches, and you get to keep your burdens, and you get to carry your own baggage. You return to the place of sorrow. And here's the biggest thing to me, is you carry your burdens alone. You know, I had my arm around my son a minute ago. And because I love my family the way that I do, just to be honest with you, I try sometimes to carry their burdens. I won't let them hurt if I can keep from it. If they got trouble, it's my trouble. My mother one time told me, she said, a mother is never happier than her least happy child. You know, there are times that throughout the week we get calls, and my wife spends hours ministering to people. Some go to this church, some don't. People we know. And she tries to carry burdens. But no matter how much I love my boys, I can only do so much. No matter how much I love this church, I can only do so much. So why in the world would anybody not come unto him when he's calling and saying, I'll give you rest for your souls. All you that labor, all you that are heavy laden, all you that are carrying burdens. He said, if you'll come and learn of me, why would anyone carry it alone? Alone. I'm going to ask him right now. It's the time for the song. Let's go ahead and get a song. I ask you to rise to your feet. Folks, I've delivered what God's laid on my heart. God has really impressed me to bring this message this morning. And I want you to know that this is not about me. This is not about Hiram First Baptist Church. It's about you and your personal relationship with God, that you would take what you have and you would bring it to him. And I want to tell you something. It's okay to pray in the house of God. If God spoke to you and you'd like to come, would you please come?
We all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace